I still think they sprayed ant eggs in my house when they came because I had no ants. And then they sprayed, and then I had ants.
I do a spray yourself service. They send me a little thing three times a year,
like
and I
your
spray
body?
It around. No, I spray around the house. Yeah,
it's like an Axe body spray.
Listen, my body naturally repels mosquitoes. I don't need any body spray.
Repels people, too.
Right.
See?
Amazing.
It's amazing how well it works.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday. There was honestly too much of that opening. I'm gonna have to cut it and save some stuff for later.
We did well on that one. Yeah.
We haven't been together for a while. We got all this pent up humor.
We ate and left no crumbs. I think that's a thing.
That's
the kids say.
Yeah.
Ate it up, no crumbs.
I actually dropped some chip crumbs on
the
way in.
You made so many crumbs.
I don't know where we are in the introductions, but my name is Patrick Nazaroff, and we're Beyond Sunday, and this with me as always, Pastor Steve Bowser.
How are you doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
You know, I think this is episode 400.
Oh my gosh.
Look at us go.
Is that depressing or inspirational?
I'm inspired.
Write in and let us know.
Nothing special planned for 400.
Oh.
I mean, I don't have anything. You had your handful of chips. You could have.
I had 400 chips in my hand.
You could have just chewed into the microphone for episode 400.
That would track.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. I don't know. In all likelihood, like, it's just going to stop recording halfway through or some amateur thing
probably
is going to happen to us. It's going to completely ruin this episode.
Yeah.
That'd be very fitting for our 400th.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe people won't even know. Maybe it's already happened. And it has been resolved. Yes.
There you go.
All right. Do you know who Banksy is?
Yes, I know.
Well, I mean, no one knows who Banksy is.
Yeah.
You know,
to be clear.
I know of Banksy.
You know of Banksy.
I have seen an original Banksy.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you?
Yeah.
Where have you seen this original Banksy?
In Bethlehem.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a famous Banksy of a dove with a gun sight target on it.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, how do we know that is Banksy?
I don't know. It's claimed as Banksy. And yeah, so when it was pointed out to me, it's like, that's that Banksy. I was like, okay. That's
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to contradict
like,
them with.
Does he sign them? I don't know.
Is it a he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Is it? Maybe it's a team. Anyone could be Banksy.
Yeah.
Anybody. It might be me.
Maybe I'm Banksy. Maybe we're all Banksy.
Of the three of us, I think Elise is most likely to be Banksy.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, I appreciate
that. Most travel, most free time to like
most
disappear.
Artistic.
Yeah, and definitely most artistic. All three of those. Yeah.
I am so flattered right now, which I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, honestly.
We need a listener, a dedicated listener, to go back. When are the podcasts Elise was gone?
And when did
when did a new Banksy pop up?
Yeah,
you know,
track
like,
it.
Can we match these
through
things?
All 400 episodes? Not even all 400. It was probably like, what, you came in like, I don't know, around 100?
Yeah.
That's so only like 300 episodes. It's fine.
Something like that. Something like that.
Only 300 hours of your life. It's fine.
Well, it wasn't me. But
that's
if it was
that's
me,
her story.
If it was me, you're welcome for all the dope art.
The true Banksy would deny it as well.
Maybe this was you then, because we have a Banksy copycat emulator. Somebody who is, you know, in the Banksy vibe, an underground graffiti artist in London who keeps going around and spray painting, I farted in yoga.
I farted in yoga.
Just that phrase over and over.
That's awesome.
Just that phrase.
I think that might be my husband.
Over and over. Is your husband a known yoga farter?
Yeah, he's going to fart in yoga tonight.
I mean, listen, if you're going to be in yoga, you're going to be farting. That's just part of the yoga experience.
For me, it's Pilates, but yeah, I get it.
Is that hot yoga?
It is hot yoga.
It's worse than hot yoga,
hot box
for sure.
Yoga,
Yeah, police are hunting a mysterious graffiti artist who keeps writing, I farted in yoga. Farted with the three, by the way, as the E.
Obviously. Yeah. Because graffiti.
Farted. Yeah, I don't know.
It's British.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the British spelling.
Farted in yoga.
It does have a cartoony figure attached to it that looks like a yoga stretch, presumably mid-fart.
Is there a little cloud coming
There's
out of
no
it?
Cloud.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
There should be.
And this is a Banksy poser?
It's a graffiti artist that we can't identify.
Okay.
Stanksy.
Stanksy. That's a good one.
No, how long were you sitting on that?
For a while.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You read this article like 3 days ago.
I read it actually like 3 weeks ago.
Stanksy.
I've been out the last couple weeks. So I was like, oh yeah, here we go.
Stanksy. He's just sitting at home taking care of his sick kids going, Stanksy, it's going to be so good.
It was good.
Props.
The authorities have been removing the graffiti and they are asking the public for help identifying the suspect.
No, don't rat that person out.
Before becoming a spray-painted vigilante, a folk hero. Who's more of a symbol than a man.
Listen, yes. We all know whoever smelt it dealt it, so, you know.
That is true.
If the police found the painting, the police probably are the ones who put the painting
there.
He who denied it supplied it.
That's
yes.
Right. According to playground law.
Yes. I think that's in the law code.
Yeah.
Some guy in a powdered wig is saying that in court.
He who supplied it.
Oh, man, my daughter.
Has thus denied it. Yeah.
When she was in, like, second grade, she was telling me that sometimes when she has to toot in class, that her friends in front of her will say, "Who farted?" And she says, "No." I was like, "That doesn't accomplish what you
Does
think it accomplishes."
Does not relieve suspicion. Yeah.
No.
The mind of a second.
I think the real move is to be the one saying, like, "Oh, who farted?"
Yeah.
You got to go first.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of inconsiderate individual would do something in yoga of all places?
Yeah. How dare you?
I'm trying to find inner peace.
Yeah. Better outer peace than inner peace, I always say.
That is what they say.
I have a companion article to go along with this.
More fart jokes?
Article number two?
It is about farting.
The precursor to article number two.
Whistle blows before the train.
And it is a new study said the sign of a healthy relationship, farting in front of each other.
I dig that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A sign. Not
yes.
The sign.
Maybe the sign. Maybe, yeah, is this, you know, how quickly you are to fart in front of each other? Maybe that. They did ask couples, when did you first fart in front of somebody? And also ask, when did you first say I love you? And they tracked them about the same time.
Oh, the farting came first.
What came first?
Yeah.
The farting or the love?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, whether or not you said it, I mean...
Well, one, you were definitely farting in front of your...
Yeah.
I mean, like, but like, out loud, like, hey,
sure,
no, like, no hearts... No.
Yeah. Like, noticeably, like, I'm just going to claim it, like, hey, I just farted.
Yeah, my husband farted audibly the first time we met.
There you go.
It wasn't on purpose, but it happened.
Yes. Love at first fart.
Yeah.
That's what we've all been saying.
Love at first, like, smell. You're like, yeah.
If there was nowhere for him to go, he was, like, standing in a corner that had good acoustics, and I was like, did you just fart?
That had good acoustics.
Yeah.
So it, like, echoed out of the corner.
Yeah.
Trap.
I think there is like a space in the Capitol in Austin where you stand in one spot, you can hear everything.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's how you, maybe yeah,
fart in that spot.
There's in the airport here in Houston too.
Yeah, there's
one,
the,
right, but it's a Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
So if you're a frequent flyer farters, avoid the Starbucks.
Yeah.
I think farting in front of each other, strong bonds. I'm for it.
I'm with it. Yeah.
It's a sign of comfort, a sign of trust.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we should just get over farting in general.
I know.
Like, we all do it. It's
fun.
In fact, we had this discussion on the mission trip with one of my bands at one point where they were playing this game. I don't remember the whole premise of the game, but essentially you had to, like, choose, like, would you do this thing if this other thing also happened to you? And so it was like, would you, like, you know, you get $1 million, something like that, but every time you fart, it doesn't smell, but there's a green cloud that pops up behind you. Like, so, like, you never have to smell, your farts never smell bad, but you always have a green cloud anytime you fart.
That's awesome.
I say the green, that, right? I want the green cloud because the only reason people are disgusted by farts is the smell.
Yep.
Like, if they're just like, oh, a green cloud, like, I don't care about that. Like, it doesn't matter to me that somebody farted if I don't have to smell it. It only bothers me because I smell it. Mm. The youth thought I was crazy. They thought I was insane. They're like, no. And, like, you only think that because you already found the person you're going to be with forever. And I was like, well, that is true.
that is comforting in a way.
I can't say that that's not a part of it.
You do have $1 million. So, like,
yeah, get $1 million for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You can probably find somebody else too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a factor. Yeah.
I've been farting for free my whole life. So I mean, come on.
I get paid. Anyway.
Yeah.
Destigmatize farting. We're here for it.
I think I'm halfway on board with that. Like, destigmatize it for me, but I don't want to hear y'all fart.
What if we're in yoga?
Yeah. I mean, yoga, I feel like all bets are off because you're like twisting.
Yeah, there's a lot of
like,
stuff happening.
Yeah, like, the ability to hold it in is just like,
yeah.
It's not going to happen.
No.
Yeah. There's this like rolling like a ball thing you do in Pilates every time. It's like, I know it's coming.
I mean, it's basically what you do to little babies. Like, you're
right.
Doing that same exercise to yourself, and it's what you do to the baby
to try to
pass gas.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
and it's like a quiet room, you know, like, it's terrible.
Yeah. maybe that's the new yoga is not a quiet room. Is every right. every, you know, 30-ish seconds there's like an air horn that goes off. that's your farting time. Yeah, like hold for the air horn, people. Maybe a countdown. All right, ready? Yeah. In 3, 2, 1. Just out. It's part of reaching, you know, nirvana yeah. in, internally.
Yeah, fart, what if the air horn yoga. Malfunctions though, and everybody's like holding it for this one.
Well, then you'd be the person like, "Oh, who farted? Yeah, disgusting, y'all. I am definitely not the graffiti artist in London.
That's right.
Stanksy.
Have you farted on the podcast?
I mean, not into the mic, no, but like, I definitely farted in this room while we've been recording.
Yeah. I farted in your mic when you weren't here.
I farted during this conversation.
I'm farting right now.
Hold on a second. I didn't process what Patrick said. Hold on.
All right. Hard things in the Bible.
What a good segue.
By the way, Martin Luther was incredibly pro-fart.
Yeah, yes. I like that about
him.
He
farted to keep the devil away.
He does.
Which I'm like, is that keep the devil away?
I mean, as much as anything else, right. I suppose.
I've seen The Exorcist, and farting did not come into the equation.
Is
a lot
the
of
devil like,
cross,
this is the line?
Holy water. Right. Like, the devil's like, oh, disgusting.
Yeah, like, oh, anything else I can tolerate. Not farting.
Oh, humans are the worst.
I did not see the priest like, there's one way to cure that little girl who's possessed by a demon. Fart in her face.
We should have asked The Exorcist when we had him on the podcast.
Oh, we should have. Let's call him back up.
Oh. We have a question. Farting. Effective or full remedy?
Yeah.
All right. We digress.
No kidding. You're going to be all right?
No.
You need me to take over here?
Yes. All right. Hard things in the Bible.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. it's the beginning of a new month. Happy August, everyone.
Happy August.
August.
I know. It's the start of things.
Everything bad.
One, it's like the end of summer, but summer is still
going. It, still it's got like 3 more months.
But for somehow, it's the hottest part of the summer. Yes.
Yeah.
And yet it's technically over, it feels like. So, yeah it's kind of terrible. August, strong chance, worst month, right?
Mm.
It's up there.
I think so.
Yeah.
For Houston?
I think yes.
Yeah, for Houston.
For weather?
In general. Yeah.
What about other places?
All the way bad.
I don't know that August weather is as terrible as Houston. It's really bad here.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other months that are in contention.
Not in Houston. In Houston, if we're just doing off weather, August is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, hard things in the Bible. We're going to talk about another thing that Jesus says.
Ooh.
And that is, what is the unforgivable sin?
Dun, 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 dun.
So Jesus does reference a sin that is unforgivable twice. Well, once in Mark, once in Matthew, both.
So really once.
Both part of the same story. So really once.
Right.
Once in the gospel.
Once that it gets recorded. Who knows how often he was talking about it.
That's
maybe
true.
It was
maybe,
like, Jesus every day. Like, hey, time. Guys, remember that unforgivable sin I talked about? Be sure to write that one down, all right?
One of the disciples farts. He's like, unforgivable sin.
I would probably throw that out a lot if I was Jesus. like for good behavior purposes.
No,
like,
that's unforgivable.
Right? Yeah. Crowd control.
Yeah, they're walking. Somebody stepped on the back of his sandal while he was like, flat tire. He's like, unforgivable.
Unforgivable. Yes. Peter, how dare you? Unforgivable.
I'm on board with that one. Yeah. So, here's the context.
Okay.
For this, and I'll read part of this passage. Jesus heals a demon-possessed man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We don't need to read that part, but he's healing a demon-possessed man. Yep.
Heals Context. A man with a demon
Pharisees.
By farting in his face, as we've previously said.
Yeah. Potentially.
We can't say it wasn't.
Right. It definitely does not say Jesus 100% did not fart when he did this.
The Bible does not say that. That's true. All right.
Pharisees witness the miracle.
Yes.
They see this happen.
See the demon. Mm-hmm. Come out of the man.
They knowingly attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to Satan.
Ruh-roh.
Say, this was Satan doing this.
Yeah. Only by Satan could... Yeah, I remember this.
Satan casting out demons.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus talks about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Boom. That's the timeline. And I will read you here from Matthew chapter 12.
I think we get Beelzebub here, don't we?
Verses 31 and 32. Maybe. But I'm just reading the what Jesus says about the
okay.
Yeah. Therefore I tell you, people will be forgiven for every sin and blasphemy, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come.
So. Don't lose that pitch. Oh. You totally lost that pitch.
Well, okay. You want it? You want the Bible? Here you go. I found it again. I'm very good. Yes. All right. What do you think? Initial thoughts. Elise, when I mentioned Unforgivable Sin at the top, you did not think.
No,
that this
I immediately said, oh, suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not because I subscribe to that belief system, yeah, but because that is what I was told.
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
By who?
By not my church, to be fair, growing okay up. Yeah. But like I heard that frequently from other churches. The idea was that if there is an unforgivable sin, it's suicide because it's the only one you don't have a chance to repent
yeah
for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, again, I don't subscribe yeah to this.
If your understanding of forgiveness is that you have to have an earthly repentance, mm-hmm, then allegedly
sure
suicide yeah would be murder, and you can't repent of that because you are the one who has died.
Right.
And we want to be very clear that is not the policy of this podcast or right of even the Lutheran Church at large, but that is a belief that is out there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have encountered people concerned about this. I've never been that concerned with it.
You've had people who are like super sin concerned about that.
Yeah, and not necessarily like some you know, some growing up heavily influenced by evangelical culture, sure, and like Left Behind series, mm-hmm, you know, definitely a lot of like what is the unforgivable sin and have mm I committed it accidentally.
Yeah. Did I do it? What, yeah. Is that it?
Or
it's like a terrible way to live.
Yeah. Or the Christianity subreddit often once a week is did I commit the unforgivable sin?
Yeah.
And like oh somebody like proclaiming what they did or didn't do, whether they said, you know, oh my God, or took the Lord's name in vain, or did something. Is that it?
Yeah.
I mean, and most, I mean, fairness, most of the comments are like, no. But and I think most of those people probably have some mental issues that they need to work through beyond.
Reddit is definitely the place to do that. That's yeah good self care for them.
Look, you know. I'm not saying it's right. You know, yeah, it's what happened.
Also, therapy's expensive. Like
that's true.
And Reddit is free.
So. Right. I get it. Like
healthcare in America.
Yeah. That's what we got.
I do have what other denominations or ideas about what this means
okay
could be. But
right
man, you know, as a pastor, if somebody
Pastor.
Tacos el pastor. Yes.
With a little pineapple on me. Yeah.
In fairness, your taco is pretty good.
The pastor.
I was like, yeah, did you make tacos for Patrick?
And not you.
I'm supposed yeah to be bothered. I do.
For our 400th episode, yeah, we had a lovely taco,
a taco party. Invite me. Par for the course.
That's right.
Katie was there. She loved it.
That's right.
So was The Exorcist.
That's right.
Everybody.
Any other guests?
All our favorite guest stars came
yeah
back.
Yeah.
Came back. It was weird you weren't there.
Yeah.
We sent you a text. I don't know. oh no, I never hit send. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Right.
As pastor, if somebody was like, yeah, Pastor David, I think I committed the unforgivable sin.
Yeah, what do you do? What's your game time response? Do you laugh? I feel like you do.
I feel like, unfortunately, that probably is my first reaction, and it's probably not the appropriate
do you,
one.
Like, throw down the smoke, fart, and, like, disappear?
Smoke bomb.
The green puff.
That's right, yeah. No, okay, so, I mean, if someone comes to me in a moment of, like, real spiritual crisis, I probably hold it together enough not to laugh, because that mm-hmm would not be pastorally appropriate. What's my response to the unforgivable sin? I would say, like, the trouble that I have with this claim that there is an unforgivable sin is that we also equally proclaim that there is nothing that can't be forgiven through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so I struggled, like, and I confess what you want to confess to me, but I struggled to point to a thing where I can say, like, yeah, absolutely, that's the thing that God is not going to, because every other part of scripture that I can point to about forgiveness, right, is God's boundless forgiveness and the ways in which, you know, Paul will talk about nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, and Jesus will talk about how, you know, you're welcomed into the arms of the Father, and like all this other stuff. So, like, yeah, I point to a lot of other places where I think the temptation to say, like, oh, this is it, is more about us trying to even exclude and demonize ourselves or others than it is to, like, fall on the grace of God. And mm-hmm if I'm going to be wrong, like, I'm going to be wrong by erring on the side of the grace of God rather than wrong on the side of condemning in the name of a sin that we can't identify.
Yeah.
That's my personal preference.
All right, so most...
With a squeeze of pineapple.
Christian denominations are probably in kind of agreement, kind of philosophically, about what this unforgivable sin could be.
Oh, and, okay. And with you. So, not usually with me.
I would say if most denominations are in agreement with you, that means you're wrong. Like, rethink that.
But we've got some, I've got some extra ones to think through.
Okay. All right,
yeah. So the first is basically like persistent final refusal of God's mercy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like that is ultimately the unforgivable sin. Like that.
But also, what does that mean?
That no,
a fair question.
Desire like, to be forgiven.
Right.
Maybe the
so most. Like not even just like, oh, a pastor told me about forgiveness and I forgot, but like, okay, you're standing at the foot of the throne of God and God is saying, I forgive you and welcome you, and you're like, no. Sorry for the table pound, 400 episodes in, still doing amateur stuff. But like that would be what they mean by it. Like, I'm standing here in front of God and I still say no. Could that be it?
Yeah. Mm.
Certainly more so than just casually saying, oh my God.
Well, especially because you just committed it. Right. That was it.
You better be open.
It's okay.
What if you say it in a play?
Right.
I farted in the
space. My character said, oh my God.
I didn't sing it in a song.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we sing a lot of songs that say, oh my God.
We do.
In like a nice way.
Yeah.
I frequently say, oh my God, in a nice way. Oh my God.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like happy exclamations.
Yeah. Does that make it less of a sin?
If it's a happy sin.
Yeah. And this seems to be kind of across the board. Like this is like, okay, this is persistent refusal of God's mercy. That is ultimately unforgivable. You know,
and even that,
I don't know if like we get that like final chance, you know, if we get a chance
yeah.
to stand before the foot of the throne and say like, nah, I'm good. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying we do or don't, but like,
right.
You know.
Yeah. What's been kind of interesting to me is I've been doing some research on like the kind of very early church fathers because I'm curious about like how stuff has transformed over time. Right. Yeah. And it seems to me that there's a big chunk of very early church founders that had this idea of universal salvation mm-hmm. and were like, anybody, you know, any living creature unsaved, unreconciled is an affront to God's mercy, right? And like, that will not happen. And so it's just kind of an interesting juxtaposition to me that like, I don't know that like the very earliest church founders were thinking in terms of like unforgivable sins, you
yeah,
know?
I would agree with you in your reading. I think there are plenty of early church writings that would point to a broader understanding of universal salvation. I don't mm-hmm. think it was ever necessarily mainstream, mm-hmm. But I do think it was certainly more broadly held and more, what's the word I'm looking for? Like more tolerated sounds like it's just being permitted, but it's like, it was within the realm of like, yeah, this could be it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't necessarily what everybody agreed on, but they're like, yeah, I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah.
And it's not demonized in the same way that sometimes it is demonized
sure.
today. I think that's a perfectly fine reading. I do think like for me, wrestling with something like what Jesus says here makes more sense than like me wrestling with like laws from Leviticus. Because like,
yeah.
Like this is like Jesus saying, this is an unforgivable. Yeah. I was like, okay, like I hear this and I'm also like leaning into like, what is God's unbounding or boundless mercy look like for and Jesus says there's this mm-hmm. thing, so like what is this, and like that's mm-hmm. my back and forth, so I hear that and hold up the tension of, but what is this thing?
Yeah I think that our first one that we kind of look to do, again, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is kind of what Jesus
says,
the best definition he kind of gives us, which again, like,
which is, I have some notes
yeah.
on that definition.
I mean, but, you know, like, come on, disciples, this is a good one to ask a question about,
right?
You know, like,
nobody gonna raise a hand,
like, what does that mean? What exactly is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit?
Could you define? Yeah.
But I do think, okay, in that kind of most Christian denominations were kind of say that, I could kind of see that is ultimately the rejection, the final and ultimate rejection mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit entering your life to produce, you know, faith and connection with, you know, the divine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes Christian, when they use the word like blasphemy, mm-hmm. that is not that same definition though.
No, yeah.
So that kind of gets like a little weird, because when we say blasphemy, like I've heard, you know, Dungeons and Dragons is blasphemy, or here's Christian protest art as blasphemy, mm-hmm. like upside down crosses mm-hmm. is blasphemy, and Marilyn Manson was blasphemy, you know, all those things. And I don't think that that is what Jesus is talking about here.
No. Yeah. I mean, especially when you read it within context, right? I mean, if you back up and remember what you gave us at the beginning of the story, yeah. Jesus has performed this miracle, and the Pharisees have not only denied that it was the Holy Spirit, they've said Jesus does this by the power of a demon. Like, it's, yeah. it's a demon that gave Jesus the power to do this. And so it's really like seeing, as I would define blasphemy within this, it's seeing God at work and calling it by something else, right? Claiming that God is not God, or claiming that this other thing that is not God is God, right? So claiming an idol is God is blasphemy. And then equally the reverse, this thing that is clearly God saying, oh, that was an idol, that was a demon, is blasphemy, is how I would define it within this context. So like blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, if you see the work of the Holy Spirit taking place in your midst, as the Pharisees did here, and then saying, nope, that's a demon, that's what Jesus is pointing to as the example. What does that mean for us? I don't know. Like,
so this is brings us to, this is a view.
Okay.
That is the unforgivable sin, attributing God's work to Satan or demons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is, like, that's the context that we got. That's the sin. Like, that's
I think you could say that's a plain text reading of this particular scripture. Yeah. I don't know if it's the right one, but I think you can draw that conclusion.
I think that one's less fun because it's like, I don't know.
Where's the adventure?
Yeah, because it's like, I've never done that.
That and, you know of.
And, yeah, and I've never really seen people really do that.
Right.
You know,
I'm
like
casting demons out of pigs.
Well, I'll say this. I have definitely looked at things that one person would say, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, and I'll say, that's crazy.
I've done that, right?
I mean, like, this is something that I struggle with like people speaking in tongues. I mean, people speaking in tongues say, this is the Holy Spirit coming over me, and I'm like, no. Like,
no, that, it is not.
And so, like, I don't know. Like, I can't say for sure that it is or is not. Yeah. So if I'm denying that that's the Holy Spirit, am I doing that? I think that would be the risk of this particular view.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, how I kind of see, that's a good way how to see it play out. Because I've also seen some people now, especially, like, claim other people are demonic or demons based on, like, you know, how they approach usually political things.
Yeah, sure.
So, like, from both sides.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I think that that is... If you're looking at another human being and saying, like, they are demonic, I think that, you know, that is definitely the work of God as another human being. And so, this one is a little less fun or interesting because it probably doesn't have the same kind of nebulous questioning around
it.
Yeah. Of like, did I commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit when I said, oh my God?
Yeah.
Or I did something wrong and I didn't want to be forgiven because I like to revel in my own wrongness sometimes.
Sure.
Yeah. That's less fun.
Yeah. Reveling in my own wrongness is great.
This is my Friday night plans.
You got it written on your calendar?
Yeah. Right. Revel in wrongness. Right. Circled.
2 hours.
Right. Followed by face mask. That's
right. You can't do those simultaneously. That's right.
Yeah. You know, reveling, you know, does not seem face mask appropriate.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Right. I don't do a face mask. I don't know what's face mask appropriate.
I don't do a face mask either, but it just does not feel like they go together. Okay. So,
is this like one of the skin things, or is this like one of the red light masks where you look
both.
Like Jason?
Yeah, I did the red light last night.
Or a Hannibal Lecter where he took the guy's face off and wore it.
Yeah. Those are, I really like those.
the human skin face mask?
Yes.
You got to pay extra for that.
All right. So that's number two. Okay, so that's interesting. Maybe for us, seeing other people say the Holy Spirit is at work through faith healing or weird stuff that we're like, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
I agree, but...
Or I'm sure I do not.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe. You know, the world is weird.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think it is hard, and I think it is reasonable for us to say, like, how are we engaging with other people's practices of faith that are different from ours? Because even in scripture, there are plenty of places where people either are or are not engaging in a certain faith practice, and Jesus says either do or don't, like, follow along it. Like, in one place it's like, hey, if they're doing this, they're only doing it by the Holy Spirit, and in other places it's like, no, that's not it. And I was like, wait, what?
It's very confusing.
Yeah.
All right, number three, our final one here. It's a uniquely historical sin that was only possible while Jesus was on earth.
That doesn't make sense. Like, that's a cop out.
You could only do it after you encounter the physical Jesus.
Yeah.
And say no.
And reject him because of that physical.
So the only people who can be guilty of the unforgivable sin are the people who physically laid eyes on Jesus during his lifetime.
And rejected it.
Nah.
Nah.
That's lame. That's just me saying, like, I don't want to have to deal with it. So it must have been, like, their problem, not mine.
Right.
Like, who believes that? Which denomination are we trashing?
So what I kind of got from this, the and, you know, my research was fairly limited on this.
Okay, overall. That's right.
The evangelicals have the widest beliefs.
That tracks.
Because they're like, yeah, you know, like they don't have strong central leadership.
Anything could be the unforgivable sin as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Just get up there and be like, farting's the unforgivable sin.
Right.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. I don't know why.
Being a Democrat is probably one of them. Yes.
Right.
I don't know why they sound like a cranky old man.
So who's the narrowest then? Like, who's the most specific?
Again, most of the denominations really don't worry themselves with this.
When we talk like mainline, yeah.
So yeah, mm-hmm. like... even the Catholics, it's like just persistence, final refusal of God's mercy. Yeah. The ELCA is continual resistance of the Holy Spirit and a persistent, and then a deliberate knowledge or malicious rejection of Christ. You know, like,
yeah,
these are all kind of like ways that
I think
denominations have defined it, but they're all kind of the same thing.
Yeah, so. I think it's worth remembering that this is like one thing that Jesus says. It happens once in Matthew. It happens once in Luke. And that's it.
Mark.
Yeah. And that's it, right? Jesus talks about like how we treat our neighbor, how we engage with money, how we, how we are supposed to just act all the time, right? Jesus talks about how we should engage with people who are our enemies. Jesus talks way more about like our relationships with one another. Maybe we don't get super hung up on like this one thing that Jesus said, or that the Gospels record one time in two different places. Like, yeah. I get it. It's an important thing for us to wrestle with.
It's just weird.
It is weird. Mm-hmm. 100%, it is weird. I don't think we need to hang our faith on this line or our... And I don't think we need to stay up on Reddit asking, did I do it? Like, I don't think that's going to be...
I would say this. I think if you are you encounter anybody nervous about this, that very act that they're asking the question is evidence that they have not done it. Like, I think that is like, if you are any desire for forgiveness, any desire for connection to God, any desire for even distress over, did I commit an unforgivable sin, is proof that you have not. Mm-hmm. Like, because then you could not have fully rejected it, because that would only be, you just
wouldn't even acknowledge.
You would not acknowledge, care, or feel anxiety over it, because then part of you had not fully rejected it, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I find the amount of people that have committed the unforgivable sin, if this is a thing, is relatively small.
Yeah.
So, like,
I can name them, but it's pretty small. I'm not going to here. Right. That'd be inappropriate.
After podcast.
Yeah.
Check out my Reddit. You can find you can find it all there.
Sure.
Follow me on Substack.
It's a paid subscription.
That's right. To get the list of
unforgiven sinners.
Yeah. I mean, it may be the question of like people who've committed the greatest atrocities imaginable and feel nothing on the other side of it. For me, that is more of the what is going. Is this something that is in line with what Jesus is saying? Like something that is so far beyond mainstream or normal quotes human behavior that we've entered into a new territory that I'm not quite sure what is going on spiritually but that this might be in line with that. I have no idea, but
I think that's a great question.
Yeah,
I think the challenge is that that's not what the story itself points us
but
to,
but the
right?
story does not get us there.
Jesus does not say, oh, look at those people who are doing horrible things and feel no like blasphemy against the Holy Spirit in light of these people denying that what Jesus did was of God. Like that's where it struggles for me, because I don't think it answers that question. I think we want to know what happens to the worst people who feel nothing. We want to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think this gets us there.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Yeah. 400.
400 episodes.
In the back. We're going to be really sad when we go back and look and it was actually like
200 episodes.
No, it's going to be like 398. And we're like, oh, well, we celebrated 400.
It would better have been if it was like 403. And I'd be like, actually, 3 episodes ago, we did our 400. We didn't even say it.
Yeah, that's
how cool we are.
That would be on brand, to be sure. Well, hey, if you liked this episode or any of our other 399 or so episodes, you can find them all at beyondsundaypodcast.com. Send us your thoughts on who should be unforgiven. No, that's not good. Send us
your farting thoughts.
Your farting thoughts. Send us all of your farting thoughts. beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
And let us know. Do you fart in front of your partner?
Yeah, sure. We want to know.
Do we?
As long as I'm not their partner, that's fine. You can fart in front of your partner.
Does your partner not fart in front of you?
She probably does.
She probably does.
Oh, wow.
That was a cop-out answer.
I mean, I don't, like, think about it all that often. We're just, you know.
Okay.
Do you, like, spend time thinking about your partner's farting in front of you?
It happens.
It does.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can say that, yeah, it is. But I don't think she's, like, intentionally, like, oh, I'm going to hold this one in. And I'm going to fart in front of Dave. Like, I don't think it's, like, a malicious attack.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, we're definitely on that level.
Yeah, I'm running into the other room. Quiet.
Right.
And then run out.
Yeah.
And then right. Put her under a blanket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a dive bomber.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with episode 401 of Beyond Sex.
Maybe.
I mean, probably.
400 and something.
Ish.